You're listening to Civic from the San Francisco Public Press. On this edition, young people want to vote in San Francisco. We'll hear from two youth about why they feel the voting age should be lowered to 16.
16 and 17-year-olds, we do make our own decisions. We don't follow our parents blindly. Additionally, we are politically engaged and informed. We are eager to vote. We do act as adults in many capacities. We earn incomes and pay taxes, and yet we're not represented.
I think that COVID-19 has made it more apparent about how the voices of 16 and 17-year-olds are necessary. Young people face an uncertain future in the midst of the pandemic and also an economic crisis. So I feel like 16 and 17-year-olds should definitely deserve a say in decisions about our recovery.
I'm Laura Wenis, and this is Civic. Youth aged 16 and 17 could gain the right to vote in municipal elections if existing voters approve a charter amendment in November. City supervisors have introduced that amendment, and if it continues to see widespread support from the board, the measure will go to the ballot. This will be San Francisco's second time voting on such an expansion of voting rights. A similar 2016 measure wasn't successful. Nationally, only a few municipalities have extended voting rights to youth, but in other countries where youth can vote, their turnout rates tend to be higher than other age groups. I learned that from two San Francisco youth commissioners, who gave me some of their reasons for organizing to extend voting rights to 16 and 17-year-olds.
Hi, I'm Sarah Chung. I'm a junior at University High School. I'm 17 years old, and I'm the District 1 Youth Commissioner, so I represent the Richmond District. And I'm also on the Civic Engagement Committee, so we're working on Vote 16 right now.
Cool, thanks. And Rocky?
Hi, my name is Rocky Versace. I'm also a junior at University High School. I'm 16 years old, and I'm a mayoral appointee to the San Francisco Youth Commission, which means I'm charged with representing youth citywide, and I'm a member of our Civic Engagement Committee.
Cool, thanks so much. Why do you want the right to vote?
So we have shown time and time again that we are participating and leading really important events like the climate strike and the March for Our Lives. And we show constantly that we want to participate in our civic process. We start taking civic classes right around this time, and we are coming out to vote and pre-registering when we can, such as in the Scotland independence referendum, when 75% of 16 and 17-year-olds came out to vote for what they believed in and speak up. And that really goes to show that we are dedicated and we really do want a chance to have our voices heard.
Sarah, what about you?
Yeah, can I add on to that?
Please.
Yeah, I think that expanding voting rights would ultimately strengthen our democracy. Right now, voter turnout for ages 18 through 29 is quite low. And by expanding voting rights to 16 and 17-year-olds, it'll actually strengthen voter turnout by building lifelong voters. Because when you're 18, you're in a time of transition, and you're moving out, going to college, and voting becomes one of your last priorities. And meanwhile, when you're 16 and 17 years old, like, you're still at home, and you're in a stable time. And you have more time to be able to go out and vote. And research shows that if you vote in your first eligible election, you build that habit of voting for the rest of your life.
So those were both really good answers in the general sense. But I'm curious for you both personally, like for you specifically, is there an issue or item that you are particularly excited to vote on if you're given the chance, or a reason that's personal to you where you're like, this is the reason why I just really want to be able to go to the polls?
For me, it's all about transportation. I use transportation, public transportation, almost every day to get to and from school. And oftentimes there's buses that are late and that don't even arrive or that are overcrowded. And that's something that affects me a lot. And I know from speaking to many youth, as well as members from our committee, that having the right to vote for Board of Education is very important, especially to SFUSD students. But for me particularly, it's all about transportation.
Right. I mean, students, I'm sure, want the right to vote on the people who are making decisions about a system that they specifically use, right? They're the ones who are in the education system.
Exactly. And we don't think it's right that people are making decisions about education when they haven't been in school for years, and they are not the ones that are going to be experiencing the ramifications of those decisions, especially if the youth don't even have a voice in the matter at all.
Right. Sarah, what about you?
Yeah, for me, honestly, definitely I'd say transportation and also like employment, because I had a job personally last year and I paid taxes, but I didn't get a say in how like those tax dollars were being used, or I don't get a say in different employment policies in the city. But also I'd say I'm interested in voting about different policies that pertain to creating a more sustainable city. I think that climate change is one of the biggest issues right now. And a lot of youth feel that too, because we're the next generation and we're going to be living in this world for however long. And we're going to be the ones experiencing the impacts of climate change. So for me, I'm really passionate about climate change and making sure that our city is sustainable long term.
Yeah, it's interesting that you both brought up climate change, because in most places that I read about these efforts, there's usually a mention of two key issues that are characterized as galvanizing youth activism and interest in civic engagement. One is gun violence in schools, especially after Parkland, and the other is the climate crisis, since youth are the ones who are going to have to live with the fallout of the decisions that adults basically are making. But we're talking about municipal elections. So can you talk a little bit more about the local decisions that you want to have a voice in when it comes to those huge, really national, and in the case of climate change, global issues?
I think that I would mainly say just like who's in power, who's on our board of supervisors, who's on our mayor, or who our mayor is. Because like I personally vote, I worked on the London Breed campaign a few years back, and we were able to get her to become mayor. So now she's our mayor right now. But I think that definitely who our mayor is and making sure that their values align with yours is really important. So I personally am looking forward to voting for leaders in power that have the same values that I do.
We also, as young people, want to make sure that the people that are elected to the highest offices in our city are keeping youth values in the forefront of their minds.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious what your conversations with other people your age are like about this issue. I mean, you both are obviously interested in civic engagement and in public service since you serve on a commission, but that's not for everyone. And maybe not everybody, regardless of their age, is always super engaged in politics, especially at the local level. What have other people you've talked to who are in your age group told you about political participation and voting and local politics?
Yeah, unfortunately, because of COVID-19, we've been stuck inside and it's much harder to be able to have these types of conversations. But back in 2016, a survey was conducted of 3,654 SF high school students, and 74% said that they would absolutely or most likely like to register and vote in a local election if they had the chance to. So we're planning to conduct another survey and hopefully get updated results. But I think that that shows that a lot of 16 and 17 year olds right now are really passionate about voting and want to vote. And hopefully by voting, we can uplift other voices who don't have, we're very privileged to have our positions, on the Youth Commission. I think that by voting, that provides a more accessible platform for any youth to have their voice be heard.
Have you found that reflected in the conversations that you have on a one-on-one basis with other people, your friends, your classmates? That's a pretty high percentage of people who say they're interested. Do you find that they're also interested in having those conversations with you about voting and about politics?
For me, that has manifested itself all the time. One of the main things I talk to my friends about is politics. And what's really important to keep in mind is we're not just talking, we're taking action where we can. So students at our school have led initiatives to try and move our school away from certain non-renewable energies and start transitioning to total powering by green energy. And in elections where 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds have been able to vote, we've turned out at higher numbers on average than the overall population. For example, for voter turnout in Tacoma Park, Maryland, which is one of the three cities that has adopted a Vote 16-like legislation, we turned out at about 50% in regular elections for all the registered youth, whereas the average overall percentage was only about 24%, which is really going to show that we're taking the privileges that we have when we get them, and we're really using them in the best way we can.
Yeah, those numbers are really high. What's with that? I mean, does that speak to like voter apathy among voters in general, or does it speak to something that's specific to youth? I mean, that's impressive. Why do you think that is?
I personally think it's a combination of things, but mainly the fact that 18-year-olds are not focused on voting as their primary sort of they're not very focused on voting. That's not something that's a priority for them because of how much their lives are changed. And we see that 18-year-olds have a dramatic fall off from voting compared to the rest of the population, whereas 16-year-olds are learning about civics in class and they're stable in their homes and know where they go to vote and have learned from their parents right then and there how the voting process works.
Sarah, did you want to add to that?
18-year-olds are definitely in a time of transition. I think that 16, 17-year-olds, because most of them, especially in San Francisco, have lived in San Francisco their whole lives. They're really passionate about local issues.
Mm-hmm. So this idea has actually been floated here before, aside from efforts around the country, you know, for states and municipalities to lower their voting age. San Francisco specifically voted on an initiative for this in 2016, and it failed with just shy of 48% of the vote. What do you think happened in 2016? Any lessons learned or takeaways from that?
I think that it was just like a relatively new idea by then. Or like a lesson to be learned that I think that we're doing now is that we're starting outreach a lot earlier and we're trying to get people to know about the benefits of Vote 16, because probably back then, because it was a relatively new idea, many voters probably didn't know about the benefits of Vote 16. But I think that the successes too are that we built a humongous teen coalition. It was the second largest campaign in San Francisco in 2016. There's a lot of teens that were working to get the word out. And I think that we should just expand on some of our strategies from 2016, like starting outreach earlier, getting more teens to join our coalition to outreach. And I think that that will lead the way to a successful campaign for November.
Rocky, did you want to talk about the 2016 vote too?
I did. And something we saw was that while approval or support for Vote 16 kind of ranged around 30% in September and October, it really shot up in November to the point where 48% of people voted for it to pass. And that really shows that people liked that idea. They just maybe weren't aware of all the details. And so when something that you see that's a little bit foreign and maybe you don't fully understand the pros of it, you just vote it down because you don't want things to change if you don't know the ramifications of your decision. And so I think the fact that we've started so early, the fact that we've been pumping out emails to community organizations asking for their endorsements, that is really going to manifest itself. And we're going to see lots of positive results come election season.
So I want to talk a little bit more about 2016, because back then when the Board of Supervisors was voting to put this issue on the ballot, then Supervisor Malia Cohen, one of two supervisors who ultimately voted against putting it on the ballot, said she worried that a lower voting age would set a legal precedent for charging youths as adults. What do you make of that argument?
So in youth brain development, we have two things called hot cognition and cold cognition. And voting is something that requires cold cognition. And that is the ability to logically and responsibly make a decision when you're faced with all the information. And studies show that cold cognition in 16 and 17-year-olds is identical to the cold cognition of adults. And so that shows that we are really able, like we have the capabilities to vote. But the thing is, when we see legal matters and we see people getting charged with crimes, those crimes are often results of hot cognition, which is like emotional and high intensity decisions, which are where people get in trouble. And so I don't think that it would need to set a legal precedent, just because those two things require vastly different brain development.
Sarah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. So I'd say that 16-year-olds already have like a lot of responsibilities, like driving, like having jobs, taking care of the siblings, etc. Like they're transitioning into that time of having a lot of adult responsibilities already. We've also been working to dismantle youth incarceration. Like recently, we just got 850 County Jail Number 4 to be closed, so that will definitely help with lowering transitional age youth incarceration levels, but also the Board of Supervisors voted to close Juvenile Hall so that it'll be closed by 2021. So I think that if we're talking in terms of incarceration in San Francisco, that shouldn't be an issue because those facilities are closing.
Mm-hmm. Another point from 2016 I want to bring up, and I promise eventually we'll be able to talk about the future as well, but since we have tried this before here in San Francisco, I think it's relevant. At that time, the city controller estimated that lowering our voting age would increase the number of registered voters by about 1%, and that's if youth registered at the same rate as the general population. Does how much voter registration would increase factor into your consideration at all, or are you looking more at the principle of the thing and access to voting for 16 and 17-year-olds?
Personally, I would use that stat to demonstrate that this is really a good idea. Why would you not take the chance to strengthen our democracy and increase representation if it's going to be a 1% difference? Overall, if people are terrified that youth are going to be dramatically swinging elections and that's the reason that they don't want us to vote, then that would really show that that's not such a major thing. We just want to have our voices heard and want to be represented.
Mm-hmm. Sarah?
I think it's definitely more about access. I think that even though it's 1%, like, that's not an argument to be like, okay, that's so little, let's not expand voting rights to 16 and 17-year-olds. I think that there's so many other benefits to expanding voting rights to 16 and 17-year-olds, like Rocky mentioned, voter turnout in those cities that have expanded voting rights to 16 and 17-year-olds has increased. I think that'll also advance equity in our democracy too, because in San Francisco, 77% of 16 and 17-year-olds are people of color compared to 60% of the overall population. So actually, by expanding voting rights to 16 and 17-year-olds, people of color will probably be more represented at the polls. And also in the two neighborhoods where voter turnout is the lowest, in the Bayview and Visitation Valley, those two neighborhoods are also the two neighborhoods with the highest number of youth and children. So by expanding voting rights to 16 and 17-year-olds, hopefully we would able to be to get more representation from the Bayview and Visitation Valley as well.
I agree. To add on to the equity aspect, we also have to focus on the types of opportunities that this will open up for entire communities. For example, 1 in 3 SFUSD students are children of immigrants, which means that if they were able to vote, they'd be essentially representing their families and their communities in a way that their communities do not have that representation right now. And so that's another aspect of, well, we might be expanding the electorate by just 1% overall, but that 1% is families and entire communities that did not have any representation before and now are finally going to be able to have the representation that they deserve.
Mm-hmm. So it's not so much about the raw numbers, it's more about the opportunity to diversify the electorate, both in terms of age and in terms of ethnicities and immigration background.
That's also just the short term. The long term is that more 18 to 24-year-olds, more 24 to 40-year-olds will be voting if those same people can vote at 16 and 17-year-old as 16 and 17-year-olds, because they will have built that habit and come out more often. 75% of 16 and 17-year-olds came out in the Scottish independence referendum. Just 54% of 18 to 24-year-olds did. If that we apply those same ideas, maybe in 10 years, that 18 to 24-year-old number is up to 60, 70%.
Mm-hmm. Because the idea is that people would form a habit. And when they start earlier, research has shown that it sticks, basically. That if you start voting earlier, you're more likely to vote in years after that.
Yes. Absolutely. If two people are walking down the street, one of them has voted in the previous election and the other one hasn't, the one that has voted is 25% more likely to vote in the next election.
We'll get back to this conversation with Youth Commissioners Sarah Chung and Rocky Versace in just a moment. You've been listening to Civic from the San Francisco Public Press.
KSFP would like to thank the awesome, forward-thinking institutional supporters of the San Francisco Public Press, including the San Francisco Foundation, the James Irvine Foundation, the Reva and David Logan Foundation, Craig Newmark Philanthropies, the Jonathan Logan Family Foundation, the Ethics and Excellence in Journalism Foundation, the Fund for Nonprofit News at the Miami Foundation, the Fund for Investigative Journalism, the California Endowment, the Center for Cultural Innovation, the Institute for Nonprofit News, and the local independent online news publishers. This is KSFP LP San Francisco, 102.5 FM.
Let's hear more from Sarah Chung and Rocky Versace about why they're organizing to extend voting rights to 16 and 17-year-olds in San Francisco. So now the Board of Supervisors is poised to add a charter amendment to the November ballot that would essentially take another run at this. Is there a difference in the campaign this year? I mean, why try this again? What has changed?
It is an astronomical difference in the campaign. While the principles of the 2016 campaign were really strong and the idea of youth leadership in the campaign was also a really good idea, especially towards furthering our message, that did not play out well because we didn't start early enough. This time, we've been working since November of last year to really push out endorsements, keep our stakeholders informed of our movements, and really just get the word out and do as much outreach as we can.
Yeah, sorry, and also, yeah, we chose 2020 because it's a presidential election year. So hopefully we can get more people to show up to the polls and more people will be in support of Vote 16, we're hoping.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit more about the outreach efforts that you've made now that we're mostly all locked inside, or at least not going to big community events anymore? I imagine that does not make doing outreach work particularly easy.
Oh yeah, it's definitely been more difficult under COVID-19, but I think that we've had to adjust in various ways, but I think that we're adjusting quite well and we're trying to create a new structure. We have over 300 community-based organizations in San Francisco, and we've already reached out to 200 of those for endorsements of Vote 16. And we're hoping that by reaching out to these community-based organizations, they'll be able to outreach to their community and the youth in their community, and then hopefully that'll create like a chain reaction, and that way we can get Vote 16 to spread through communities. But it's definitely a lot harder now that it's through email because we don't have that same sort of direct connection.
I'm sorry, I think I interrupted you, Rocky. You were also going to add on to how you have been organizing around this with the coronavirus pandemic.
Yes. So when we were forced to go into self-isolation, we did have a stakeholder meeting and a town hall planned, and we could obviously no longer follow through with that. But I think that this whole situation has really exposed how much we are going to need to have full representation when we get back, because currently thousands of youth across the city are being impacted both in their quality of education and in their economic situations. And that is going to be really essential to really have a full representation of our city's needs when we get back to normal.
Yeah. I want to give you a chance to add anything on the organizing or the ballot initiative that I didn't give you a chance to say, if there's anything that you're just itching to talk about.
I'd say that to all the people who think that 16 and 17-year-olds are not mature enough to vote, I would say that 16 and 17-year-olds, we do make our own decisions. We don't follow our parents blindly. 40% of us voted differently than our parents in the Scottish independence referendum. Additionally, we are politically engaged and informed. As we mentioned before, there's from the survey, we are eager to vote, most of us. And finally, we do act as adults in many capacities. We earn incomes and pay taxes, and yet we're not represented. And that has typically been kind of an inflammatory subject in American history.
Yes, indeed. Sarah, anything to add?
I think that COVID-19 has made it more apparent about how the voices of 16 and 17-year-olds are necessary in elections and in our democratic process. I mean, with like education and a bunch of other issues, I think that young people face an uncertain future in the midst of the pandemic and also an economic crisis. So I feel like 16 and 17 year olds should definitely deserve a say in decisions about our recovery.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned you recently had a job. I don't know what your situation is, Rocky, but this kind of makes me wonder how many of our essential workers are youth. Do you have any idea?
Yeah, so actually, nationally, 13% of grocery workers are 16 through 19, and also 16, 17-year-olds work in restaurants and other industries that remain open, so they definitely should get a say in the policies that will determine their safety.
The voting rights organization Fair Vote says research indicates that there's a trickle-up effect on civic participation when 16 and 17-year-olds engage in civics, because conversations about politics and local issues are brought to the dinner table. Parents and family members are engaged in civic life through the 16 and 17-year-olds in their household, with a positive impact on voter turnout for people of all ages. That honestly kind of surprised me, and that might speak to my own preconceived notions about youth. So I wanted to ask what your personal experience is like. Do you talk to your parents about local politics? Do you find yourself trying to, you know, engage your parents in conversations about local politics and issues?
Absolutely. Ever since I was really young, probably like 8, I would accompany my dad to the polls every year in November. And I would like, it's just like a really funny picture. It's just like, I would like read through the little ballot guides very seriously. Aww. And read about like the pros and cons. Yeah. And the thing was, my dad and my mom, they're always like busy at work. So oftentimes they didn't have time to like read through all the pros and cons in the same way that I did. And then I would basically pitch what idea or like what how I would vote to my parents and like try to convince them to vote how I wanted to vote. And usually my dad would follow me and I'd be next to him at the polling station. I'd be like, oh, I'd pick that. and then I tried to convince my dad, and my dad was convinced maybe like half the time, and he'd be like, yeah, sure. But anyway, I think that that's really added to like my interest in voting. And I don't know if other 16, 17-year-olds have had similar experiences as well, but
I guess the main takeaway is it starts even earlier than 16 and 17.
Yeah, because of my parents and following my parents to the polls. And in terms of political discussions, absolutely. Just the other day had discussions around the effects of like homelessness or COVID-19 on homelessness, because outside there's a lot of homeless people who are living near my house. We had quite a heated debate, like how our city is responding, because I think that my parents, or at least my mom, has more conservative views. But I think that also adds to the point that Rocky was making, that if people are concerned that 16 and 17 year olds are going to vote the same way that their parents do, I don't think that's true at all, because for me, my parents are immigrants, so they grew up with different environment and different culture, and I grew up here. I have different values, and I went through different experiences than them, and I have different values as a result. Political discussions, I think, happen very often for me in the house and also at school and in so many different environments. And I think that the growth of political discussions throughout all these different environments has really permeated so many different spaces. And I think that that's also another reason why 16 and 17-year-olds are so passionate about voting, because so many of these issues are relevant and they have their own values that they want to advocate for too.
Well, Rocky and Sarah, I want to thank you both so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me about this.
Thank you so much, Laura.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
That was Sarah Chung and Rocky Versace, San Francisco Youth Commissioners. I'm Laura Wenis, and you've been listening to Civic.